Order. Order. The House will come to order straight away. Order.
With the Prime Minister in Christchurch after the city was shaken by two more big jolts on Monday, his ministers had the task of answering the six questions addressed to him on Tuesday, all but one of them beginning with the same request.
To the Prime Minister, does he stand by his statement that...
My question is to the Prime Minister, does he stand by his statement, quotes...
My question is to the Prime Minister and asks, does he stand by his statement on breakfast yesterday...
My question to the Prime Minister, does he stand by his statement... That quote,
my question is to the Prime Minister, does he stand by his statement on...
And all of them getting the same answer.
Mr Speaker, on behalf of the Prime Minister, yes.
On behalf of the Prime Minister, Mr Speaker, yes. On behalf of the Prime Minister, Mr Speaker, yes.
Mr Speaker, on behalf of the Prime Minister, yes.
On behalf of the Prime Minister, Mr Speaker, yes.
Stephen Joyce, the mystery voice, he answered three of the questions, including one about John Key's apparent support for Sky City's plan to build a big convention centre in Auckland if given permission to increase its gambling facilities.
This is a very big opportunity for New Zealand. The New Zealand International Convention Centre will be a major boost to the New Zealand economy.
Mr Joyce was then asked why the government was keen on that opportunity but not others by Labor's Chris Hipkins.
How can his government justify changing tax, labour and gambling laws to benefit the film and gambling industries when it won't lift a finger to save jobs at the railway workshop, won't lift a finger to save TVNZ jobs at Avalon, won't lift a finger to save jobs at IRL and Lower Hutt? Or is it only the large corporates whose profits largely go offshore that this government are interested in helping?
Mr Joyce also faced similar allegations when his bill, splitting Telecom into two to roll out National's ultra-fast broadband network, bogged down under an opposition filibuster. But that was not until Thursday when the Telecommunications, TSO Broadband and Other Matters Bill was in its committee stage, after having its second reading debate on Tuesday, led off by Mr Joyce as Minister of Communications and Information Technology.
This bill provides the regulatory framework for improvements in broadband that will be truly transformative to this country. The UFB will see New Zealand leapfrog its competitors and become one of the most connected countries in the world.
While echoing Mr Joyce's enthusiasm for the technology, his Labour shadow, Claire Curran, was not so keen on his bill.
Labour is committed to faster broadband. We are committed to delivering a digital transformation for this country. We are not committed to supporting a charade and the formation of a new fibre monopoly which encourages anti-competitive, price-gouging behaviours and that won't be good for consumers.
Claire Curran's Green counterpart, Gareth Hughes, took a similar stance.
We support the intention, but we will not be supporting this legislation in the House.
Now to the other end of the political spectrum and the ACT Party's Roger Douglas.
This bill is a gamble because we simply do not know if it will bring any benefit whatsoever to New Zealand.
But Roger Douglas admitted that his party was divided.
Under this bill, the taxpayer will end up spending $1.5 billion on a gamble. I cannot condone such reckless spending, nor can Heather Roy. The remaining ACT members believe that this was a fundamental election promise made by our coalition partners and will therefore vote for it.
But there were no worries in National's other support party for reasons explained by the Māori Party's co-leader, Tariana Turia.
We can be assured that marae, kōhanga reo, kura, wānanga, iwi, runanga, Māori health and social service providers throughout Aotearoa will benefit from the rollout of ultra-fast broadband.
The four votes from Tariana Turia's Māori Party contributed to the government's total of 66, defeating the opposition's 55 and allowing the bill to enter its committee stage after question time on Thursday. This is the stage where the bill can be debated in detail, and the opposition were hot in pursuit of a devil they thought could be lurking in the detail of a late amendment, or SOP, removing the Kiwi share, underpinning universal coverage and free local calls from the legislation. But the opposition's belief in the significance of the changes was not shared by the minister.
We've been clear all the way through for quite some time now that the obligations in that TSO deed should Telecom become the successful bidder would be split between Telecom and Chorus, and a replacement deed put in place, and those are currently being negotiated. There's no plans to make any changes to those obligations.
Nevertheless, the opposition continued to filibuster right up to the adjournment. And another long-running filibuster was the reason that there was no further debate this week on the ACT Party's bill ending compulsory membership of student unions. I'm Tom Frewen, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.